we're now going to have our reading from the Bible. So if you've got your Bibles, we're reading from John chapter 4, beginning at verse 43. And the Folks family are going to come up and tell us the story with me. So John chapter 4, from verse 43. And we are going to be listening and finding out about somebody who is very, very powerful. So listen up and see if you can work out who is the powerful person.
After the 2 days, Jesus left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honour in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they had also been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death.
Unless you people see signs and miracles, you will never believe.
Sir, come quickly before my son dies.
Go, your son will live.
The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living.
Yesterday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him.
Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee.
Thank you very much to the Folks family. That was wonderful. If you have the Bible in front of you or on your phone, do keep that with you. And let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this precious time to think together about your living word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us, young and old. Amen. Well, we've been thinking about things that are powerful, and we've been learning that a Spitfire has the most pulling power of all of those machines, the Jaguar has the most powerful bite of all the cats, and a president, I suppose is the right answer, has the most powerful of all jobs. But now, in the first part of our talk this morning, we're going to learn about something more powerful than all of those things. We're going to be hearing about something so powerful that it makes a Spitfire seem like a lawnmower, that it makes a Jaguar seem like a pussycat, and it makes a president seem like a vicar. We're going to be learning that Jesus' word is all-powerful. There is nothing in the universe with more powerful than Jesus' word. Now, at this point in John's Gospel, Jesus is on his way from Jerusalem in the south back up to Galilee in the north. He has come through Samaria, where he met the Samaritan woman, and she and many others had come to believe that Jesus was the Saviour of the world. And now Jesus is coming back to his home country, to the place where he grew up, Galilee in the north. And verse 46 tells us, once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. Jesus is back in the exact place where he had done this amazing sign. Now, there was a royal official in Capernaum. Capernaum is about 18 miles from Cana. I think we can see a map on the screen. That's the distance from here to Wembley Stadium in London. And the royal official, boys and girls, I've done a big picture of him. He might have looked a bit like this. Now, the royal official knew all about power. He worked for a powerful man, probably Herod Antipas. He was a powerful man himself. He had lots of people to boss around. But he was in a situation where his power couldn't help him at all. His son was sick. In fact, in verse 47, we learn his son was close to death. Now, the royal official must have loved his son very much, and he'd heard about Jesus' power. Perhaps someone had told him about Jesus turning the water into wine. So when the royal official heard that Jesus was back in Galilee, he made the journey from Capernaum to Cana, and verse 47, he begged Jesus to come and heal his son. And Jesus said, unless you people see miraculous signs, you will never believe. Now, we're going to think about the meaning of that a bit later. But the royal official keeps begging Jesus, sir, come down before my son dies. And Jesus said, you may go, your son will live. Wow. Jesus is saying, I don't need to go all the way to Capernaum. I don't need to come all that way with you. I can just say, your son will live, and 18 miles away, the boy will get better. Well, the man took Jesus at his word and headed home. And as we saw in the drama, while he was heading back to Capernaum, his servants met him on the road, and they were happy, and they were excited, and they said, sir, sir, your boy is better, he's been healed. What time did this happen? The royal official asked. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they said, the seventh hour. And verse 53, then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and all his household believed. The royal official and his whole household realized that Jesus' word is all powerful. Jesus just has to say something and it happens. Now this is awesome power indeed. There's no medicine that can work over 18 miles. No injection could work over 18 miles unless you had a very, very long needle, and I don't suppose that would be wise. No doctor can heal someone over 18 miles. But Jesus just had to say the word, and at that very instant, 18 miles away in Capernaum, the boy got better. Jesus is showing that his word is all-powerful. And I've got a picture on the screens to represent this. The speech bubble stands for Jesus' word. And the strong arm shows that his word is all powerful. He only has to say something and it happens. Please notice, it's not just that Jesus is powerful. It's not just that Jesus can do amazing things. It's that Jesus' word is powerful. Whatever he says happens. Now, who in the Bible does that remind you of? Who else in the Bible just has to say something and it happens? Well, it reminds us of God at the start of the Bible. Let there be light, and there was light. God only had to speak, and the universe came into existence. And now Jesus is the same. Here he is, God's son. Whatever he says happens. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is why it's so important that we listen to Jesus' word in the Bible. It's why we open his word each Sunday at church. It's why we read his word at home. It's why we think about his word in the week and memorize it. Because Jesus' word is all powerful. His word brings healing and restoring power into our lives. Well, we're going to think a bit more about this in a second. But back to Kate for now. Kate, thank you. So we've been learning that Jesus' word is all-powerful. Now in the second part of our talk, there's something else for us to learn from this passage. We learn what faith is. Now, this is so important to understand. Many people think that faith is believing something for no good reason. Or some people think that faith is a feeling of peace and confidence that you either have or you don't have. But that's not what faith is. Faith is trusting Jesus' word. Faith is trusting that what Jesus says will happen. Now, this is what the royal official did. In verse 50, which really is the key verse of our passage, Jesus said to the royal official, "You may go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Now, at that point in proceedings, the royal official couldn't see whether his son was healed or not. But he didn't ask Jesus to come back to Capernaum with him to make sure. He trusted what Jesus said. If Jesus said the boy would live, as far as the royal official was concerned, that was good enough for him. He trusted Jesus' word. And that's what faith is. And of course, later on, the royal official discovered that he had been absolutely right to trust in Jesus' word. Now, I want to do a little experiment this morning to see whether you can trust my word. And for this experiment, I need a helper. And they must be at least 10 years old. I'm sorry about that. And they must also be able to eat chocolate. Is there anyone here who is at least 10 years old? Yes, at the back. Young man, you come forward. Thank you. And you can take your mask off. It's Connor, isn't it? Yeah, Connor, brilliant. You come, actually, you stay where you are. Now, Connor, and ladies and gentlemen, I've got here two bars of chocolate, and they both look the same, but one of these bars of chocolate is Cadbury's, and the other one is something called Supremely Hot Instant Regret Chili Chocolate. So I think we can put this down. Now, Connor will be able to see that. To the untrained eye, you can't tell which is which. To the untrained nose, you can't tell which is which. But I know which one is the Cadbury's and which one is the Supremely Hot Instant Regret Chili Chocolate. Let me just read to you, Connor and everyone, from the back of the packet. Warning. This bar contains absurdly high amounts of chili and is likely to cause a horrendous burning sensation. Do not put in direct contact with the eyes. If pain persists, bathe your entire body and then seek medical advice. Absolutely not suitable for children or for pets. So, Connor, you can see why I say it's an experiment where you have to trust my words. Because I know which one is the Supremely Hot Instant Regret Chili Chocolate, and I know which one is the Cadbury's. And I'm going to tell you, and then you've got to try. You've got to trust my word. So if you come and stand here, and I'll tell you, Connor, the Cadbury's is the one on your right. So the one on your right, which is the one nearest the piano. So you won't be able to tell by looking. You will have to trust my word. And I'm going to invite you to take the Cadbury's and to have a bite. And by the way, Connor, just to be fair to you, I promise this isn't a trick. It looks thick. Well, that's another reason to trust me. So, ladies and gentlemen, can Connor trust my word when I tell him the Cadbury's is the one on his right? You're welcome just to break it or to bite from it. He tries a little bit. Can he try a big bit? Connor, you were right to trust my word. That is the Cadbury's, and you're welcome to take it back to your seat with you. Now, if anyone would like to try the instant regret at the end of the service, I am dying to see what happens when someone eats it. So do come forward at the end. Now, folks, in that experiment, Connor had to trust my word. He couldn't see with his eyes which one was the Cadbury's and which one was the chili. He trusted what I said, and he was rewarded with the Cadbury's chocolate. And this is what the royal official did with Jesus. He trusted Jesus' word. He loved his boy so much. More than anything else, he wanted his son to get better. Jesus said to him, "Your son will live." And the royal official trusted Jesus' word. Now, in verse 48 of our reading, Jesus says, "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe." He was criticizing the people of Galilee. They would only believe if they saw miracles. Now, that's not real faith, because it insists on seeing before it trusts. No, it's the royal official who shows us what real faith is, trusting in Jesus' words. Now, this is why faith is hard. I think all of us find faith hard. It's much easier to trust in something you can see. Trusting in Jesus' word is hard, but it makes perfect sense. It's totally logical, because Jesus' word is all-powerful. That's what the miraculous signs in John's gospel show us. The point of the miracles is not that we need to see signs to believe. No, the point of the miracles is that they show us that whatever Jesus says happens. So Jesus says, "Your son will live." 18 miles away, the boy gets better. A little bit later, Jesus says to a paralyzed man, "Pick up your mat and walk." The man picked up his mat and walked. Even later, Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out. Whatever Jesus says happens. There is nothing more certain, no firmer foundation we could possibly have than trusting in Jesus' word. Now, the royal official trusted Jesus' promise, "Your son will live." We have even greater promises from Jesus. And I want to share just three of them from John's gospel. I think they'll come up on the screen. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life." What a promise. If we trust in him, we have forgiveness, friendship with God, a future with God forever. Jesus also said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." What a promise. Many people think that life with Jesus is somehow worse than life without him. They think that Jesus will spoil our life. Jesus promises that life with him is life at its best. And Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." What a promise. Jesus is saying if we remain in him, if we keep going with him, he will grow his fruit in our lives of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. What amazing promises from Jesus we have. Now, faith is trusting Jesus' words. It's what the royal official did. So as we finish, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'd like to ask you, what are you trusting in? See, everyone's trusting in something. Some people only trust in themselves. Some people only trust in what they can see. But faith is trusting Jesus' word. And there is no better, no safer place to put our trust, because Jesus' word is all powerful. That means that when we are finding faith difficult, what we need to do is not focus on ourselves, but focus on Jesus. Jesus said, "Your son will live," and he did. Jesus said he would die for our sins, and he did. Jesus said he would rise again, and he did. We know that Jesus' word is absolutely certain. So let's leave here today with our trust in Jesus' word. And let's leave here today knowing that our trust is in the right place, because Jesus' word is all powerful.